So thank you for all coming back, and I'm glad we got the April Fool's Day joke out of the way. However, because it's April Fool's Day, I did take some artistic license in my slides. I hope you don't mind. Again, my name's Garrett, and I'm actually going to present a model today. And this is a model of different intervention strategies for pertussis. And a decision model is not really designed to tell you or tell the user what to do. It's more designed to help us understand the decision we have to make and the different factors that might be important in making that decision. Models cannot incorporate all facets of reality. And pertussis itself is a very hard disease to work with. I know, I'm sure many of you who have worked with it have noticed how difficult it is, and it's also difficult to model, but that's also a good reason to try to make a model, because it might help us abstract away from some of the details and understand what's going on. So with that, again, we're talking about Bordetella pertussis, or whooping cough. WHO has 152,000 reported cases in 2007, U.S. national statistics 25,000 in 2004, 25,000 in 2005, 15,000 in 2006. But the impetus for this study is that we see this big peak and the much higher incidence over the last 30 years. And there are a couple reasons that people have brought up for this increase. One is waning immunity of the vaccine, and another could be the introduction of PCR testing, which may mean that it's more sensitive, so we might be picking up more cases, but there could be false positives associated with that. However, what's really important about this graph is local health departments are kind of the front line of defense for disease, so as the incidence rate increases, the burden on health departments increases. Further, this is a plot by age group of the number of cases in 2006. You'll see that there's a very large number of cases in individuals less than 1 year old. And throughout this talk, I'm going to refer to infants as individuals less than 1 year old. They have the highest rates of hospitalization and the most complications associated with pertussis. Diagnosis of pertussis is difficult. The whoop is not always present. It can present with cold-like symptoms. And so generally, it's not suspected until you have a long duration of cough, and so transmission has probably already happened. And so cases can build up large numbers of contacts, and it has a very high attack rate in households, up to 80%. The recommended control measures are you treat the case, and then trace close contacts, recommend chemoprophylaxis, that is, even if they're not symptomatic, you give them antibiotics. And then vaccinate if eligible, and test and monitor for signs of cough. And if you can imagine doing this for a lot of people, that's a lot of labor time for a health department. Now, I was lucky enough to go on an outbreak in Douglas County, Omaha. This was a school-based outbreak, and you can see me there with several health department officials and the EIS officers as well. And the characteristics of this outbreak was it was school-based, it was a private school. It was in a suburb in Omaha. There was an estimated total population of 1,000 students, staff, parents, and siblings. And we estimated 36 infants in this population. The vaccine uptake was high, but there were 24 cases of pertussis. And what I did was I did a cost analysis to find out how much time the health department was spending on responding to this outbreak. And here are some numbers from that. The hours per case, this is regular hours, were almost 42 hours, including an hour of extra or compensation time. So you're talking about 43 hours per case of pertussis. So that's somebody working more than full time for a week. Lots of phone calls, and the number of individuals recommended chemoprophylaxis was about 6 per case. And the total cost was $51,327, including fringe benefits and overhead, or about $2,000 per case. Now, I don't know how many of you were at the earlier presentation. They had much lower numbers, but they weren't really dealing with a school-based outbreak. The media got involved here. There was a lot of communication with the school. It took more time. So the research question is, can we reduce costs by evaluating alternative control measures? For instance, Oregon Health Department recommends chemoprophylaxis of high-risk contacts only. So we're talking about infants or close contacts of infants. And they report substantial reductions in time spent on control of pertussis, and they say they're also better at identifying those who are most at risk. So to get a better idea of our strategies here, I have several celebrities and some very cute infants up here, and we have an adult pertussis case in the middle. So if we're going to use the all close contact strategy, which is kind of the standard, then everybody inside this circle is going to be counted and most likely given antibiotics. And but let's see who is next to infants in this page. Well, we have Hillary. She looks like she's next to two infants, and Tiger Woods is also next to an infant there, but Donald is not looking so good here. So if we use the close contact of infant strategy, well then unfortunately Donald is fired and he doesn't get any antibiotics. Sorry, Donald. All right, so what's our method? We're gonna use a decision cost effectiveness analysis. The reason we're using this method is because there's not a lot of data here, and the decision analysis will allow us to quantify some of the uncertainty in the model. We're going to incorporate epidemiological and economic factors. I use the triage software. And again, this is going to be from the health department perspective, so any individuals who are paying their own cost for antibiotics or testing, then they will not be counted. And I should also mention in the outbreak that we looked at, that health department did not pay for testing, and they did not pay for antibiotics for the cases. Okay, so what are the assumptions in this model? Well, the ones that are focused on data are the attack rate on households, the cost of the all close contact strategy, that came from our outbreak investigation, vaccine uptake, we're assuming to be high, 95%. The efficacy also comes from the literature. The proportion of infants in the population, that's coming from our outbreak scenario. Some more observational data, things that we believe intuitively to be true. One is the chemoprophylaxis compliance. When you're using the close contact of infant strategy, we believe that to be higher. And the reason is, if you're doing an all close contact strategy, you're gonna try to have to convince a lot more people to take the antibiotics. And depending on whether they have to go to the doctor to get a prescription or not, there are a lot of costs associated with that. If you're in the close contact of infant strategy, then we believe, well, you don't have to talk to as many people. And in that case, you say, well, you're doing it to protect an infant. You want to protect the high-risk contact. Okay. We also assume the efficacy of chemoprophylaxis given early diagnosis is higher. So if we catch the case early, the original case early, then our intervention is going to be more effective. The likelihood of early diagnosis is another assumed variable. And then the cost per case for the close contact of infant strategy, we're assuming that to be half the cost of the all close contact strategy. Okay. So this is what the start of the decision tree. So we have three strategies here. One is the all close contact strategy. Another is the close contact of an infant strategy. At the bottom down here, we have monitor and treat case. There, we just give the original index case antibiotics and we don't do any tracing. So we're gonna compare all our strategies to that outcome. So now let's expand the all close contact strategy a little bit. So I know this looks a little bigger. Sorry, I'll just take you up to the top here. So the first part of the branch, these are other variables that we're going to use in the analysis, are whether there's a false positive or not. Now this actually represents whether we diagnosed the original case correctly. Is it truly pertussis or did we have a false positive? If we have a false positive, well then the likelihood that another case gets pertussis is actually zero because the index case didn't have pertussis to begin with. So conditional that we made the right choice, that the index case actually has pertussis, then we're in the no false positive branch. And then we say, well, did we diagnose this index case early or late? If we got them early, and we say, okay, what's the likelihood that a contact around the index case is vaccinated? And then we say, what's the likelihood that a contact of the index case actually gets pertussis, given everything we just mentioned, given that they're vaccinated, given that we diagnosed the case early, given there is no false positive. And we also have some other variables there that aren't in the tree, like the natural transmission rate, the vaccine efficacy, and then the chemoprophylaxis efficacy, given that we diagnosed somebody early. And the last portion is, what's the likelihood that an infant gets pertussis given that a close contact got pertussis? And this is just based on the probability that an infant is in the population. So now the question is, how is this strategy different than the close contact of infant strategy? Well, now we're in a different branch, and again we have whether we have false positive or not. So conditional that we made the right diagnosis, say, is this contact of the original case, are they next to an infant or not? If they're next to the infant, then we give them the antibiotics. If they're not, we don't. So the tree where they're next to an infant is actually the same as the all close contact tree. However, if they're not next to an infant, then you have the different tree, which is based on the vaccine uptake and efficacy. So now that you guys understand the model completely and can easily explain it to me, we have a quiz. There is an outbreak of pertussis at a local school, and what's the best strategy? And the first one is actually my favorite strategy. I hide under my desk and call my mother quite frequently. She actually really likes that I started working on pertussis because I call her a lot more now. You can call in sick, but actually it really depends. And what it depends on, and I think this is a question we should debate, is do we want to prevent pertussis cases or do we want to prevent infant cases? And then the next question is, how many hours or resources are available to investigate this case? When we were on the outbreak of the local health department, they had a TB case come up at the same time. And then they had three people that were actually at a CDC epidemiology training course, so they were really understaffed. But they still went ahead and did it. But those are decisions that people have to make. Now, to get an idea of what the model might say, so here's some output. In the all close contact strategy, the estimated number of adult cases is the least. Well, we're giving out a lot of antibiotics, so we do expect there to be lower cases. In the close contact of infant strategy, well, we expect there to be more cases of pertussis because we're not giving out as many antibiotics. And then if we're not giving out any antibiotics, well, yes, we're going to have even more pertussis cases. But if we look at infant cases, well, the estimated infant cases, it's a number up there, 0.08, for all close contacts. And it's the same for close contacts of infants, because if you're next to an infant, we give you the antibiotics. For monitor and treat case, it's going to have the highest number of infant cases. If we go to the far right column, then again you see, well, all close contacts is the most expensive because we're doing a lot of tracing. Close contacts of infants is a little bit less, and monitor and treat case is the cheapest. But what we should note here is that if we only care about preventing infant cases, then because all close contacts has the same number of cases as close contacts of infants, but close contacts of infants is cheaper, then if we only cared about preventing infant cases, we should consider doing the close contact of infant strategy. Now, to look at that another way, economists use ratios to kind of compare strategies. And what we're doing here is we're looking at the cost per additional case averted of pertussis. And what you do is you take relative to the treat strategy. So if we don't give anyone antibiotics versus we're doing the all close contact strategy, what's the difference in cost? And then what's the difference in cases? So we'll take cost divided by cases here. And looking at our two strategies relative to treat, close contacts of infants, if you want to prevent all pertussis cases, costs about $60,000 per additional case averted. All close contacts, about $6,000. For infant pertussis, and these dollars represent the resources you're putting in, it's about $1 million per case averted, additional case averted, but all close contacts is much higher. About 2.8. And these are preliminary numbers. They will change, but the relationship is still pretty solid. So what we should note here is all close contacts is okay at preventing all pertussis cases, but if you want to prevent infant cases, it's much more expensive than the close contact of infant strategy. And this is assuming 95% uptake in the population, so we're more in that school setting. If we went to a lower uptake, then it's much more expensive. And you can see that all close contacts is about $5 million for an infant case prevented, relative to close contacts of infants, which is only about $1 million. So what are some limitations? Definitely, we're going to do more validation work on the model. This is from the health department perspective, so we're not including the private cost associated with it. We're still collecting more data on health department response costs, and if anyone is interested, I would love to talk to you about the costs. There are no lab testing costs in here, and we still don't really know how much resources a health department should put into pertussis. Finally, we're developing a tool for health departments, and we hope to have this done in August to help look at decisions. And you can put in some parameters about the population you're looking at, and it'll give some expected number of pertussis cases, expected infant cases, and then expected resource cost. And if anyone's interested in piloting that, we'd love to talk to you. And finally, some preliminary conclusions. Again, the best intervention strategy depends on what a health department's goal is. Do you want to prevent pertussis cases, or do you want to prevent infant cases? And when the aim is to protect infants in high-risk contexts, then an all-close contact strategy is more expensive. I'd like to acknowledge some of my co-authors from the CDC, also Douglas County Health Department for helping me get the data, and the Oregon Health Department. And here's my contact information if you're interested in looking at the tool or cost data. And thank you very much.